Hey guys, good morning. Today is Monday, July 22nd, 2019. I'm JD, your mobile trader, and this is the Mobile Trading Podcast. Hey guys, I'm still checking in with you from Ogden, Utah. I was going to do a continuation of my barbershop fiasco from a few days ago, but my waves are holding up, so I'm pretty happy with my haircut that Chuck gave me. Now, I do remember the young lady kept saying that they had never really dealt with ethnic hair, and that caught me off guard, but I'm not a science experiment anymore, and everybody's in good shape, but these waves are kicking, so let's talk about our homework from the last episode. Let's get to our first subject, basically blue chip stocks. We're going to give the definition. Blue chip stocks, we're looking at nationally recognized companies, well-established and financially sound companies, companies of higher quality, companies that have withstood the test of time. They have a track record, a certain level of consistency. A lot of times you're going to find a quarterly dividend as well. They're household names. We'll get into that a little further. Now, with that being said, they're still subject to volatility and failure. Let's think back to Lehman Brothers and GM's bankruptcy. Look at, I don't know if Blockbuster was considered a blue chip at any point during that time, but maybe JCPenney's, Bear Stearns, though. But these situations where they failed and just kind of went to a bankruptcy situation, that's an anomaly. The majority of your blue chip stocks, that track record holds up. So in most cases, we're looking at a blue chip stock holding a core position within a traditional portfolio. So if you're a long-term investor, if you're looking for that, you know, that 5, 10, 15, 20 year window, a lot of times your first entry into the market, you're looking at that blue chip stock. I believe one of my first ones was Walmart. When I worked at Walmart, we were able to purchase shares of Walmart. I think I was a bagger at the time. Another one for me was Intel. I did the dividend reinvestment program, a DRIP, and I still, you know, have little shares of that. But incremental increases within that DRIP, the dividend reinvestment program, but we can talk about that a little bit later. So let's go to some examples of blue chips. So American Express, I'll give the name and the ticker symbol and the current price. So American Express, ticker AXP, price $124.82 per share. Another example, Apple, AAPL is the ticker, $202.59 current price. The next one is one that's really, really, really volatile, and it's on my ticker, on my watch list, is Boeing. Ticker BA, $377.36, most recent price, and it popped. I mean, it jumped about $16 on Friday. Now, guys, look at it. Earnings is set for Wednesday, July 24th, before the bell. Market opens at 9:30 Eastern time on Monday, so they'll have their earnings call, or they'll release their second quarter earnings prior to the open of the market. Listen for the earnings call. We'll look for forward guidance. And there's you can't predict which direction it's going to go, if it's going to go bearish or bullish, or if it's just going to kind of just hold steady. But the volatility is going to jump into that, into Boeing, and it's going to make a move on Wednesday. So kind of heads up. All right, guys, next one. Next example, Microsoft, MSFT, $136.82. Microsoft's at all-time highs right now. And the trend, if you look at the charts, that trend is strong. It's a strong bullish trend. There might be a pullback to support, but it's in that Microsoft has made a nice push. Next one is Nike, NKE. Share price $86.55. Nike's had a rocky year, but it started with the Kaepernick situation when they made him one of their featured athletes, and then most recently the Betsy Ross signature shoe that was pulled. So, but Nike is made some gains this year. That's a nice blue chip stock. Next one is Coca-Cola, ticker KO. Share price $51.39. And a few other examples are Walmart, McDonald's, IBM, and Visa. And guys, you can go You can type in Dow, components of the Dow, Dow stocks, and you can get a list of the stocks that were in the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And that's a benchmark average that we, you know, we kind of use that. We use that in the, as well as the S&P and the Russell, NASDAQ. So those are just a handful of the benchmarks where you kind of gauge the market's, the temperature of the market, market sentiment as well. Now let's touch on market cycle. The broader definition refers to trends or patterns that develop over a period of time. Now this is important, family. The detailed definition is the period of time between the two latest highs or lows of a common benchmark, the S&P 500. Now, with that being said, we're currently in a bull market, and it's been a long bull market from the expert's perspective. So there's a chance, let's say you entered the market tomorrow, you wanted to buy Microsoft. There's a chance within this next year, over at this time next year, your position could be down 15 to 20%. And it wouldn't mean that you made a bad investment or a poor choice in companies. It just simply meant that you entered near market tops or at the top or at the end of one cycle or at the end of one, one segment within a cycle, you know, and or basically walked into distribution or profit taking. Now, if your time horizon is a long-term investment, you look at that as an opportunity to buy more. You kind of look at the market to see. First, you try to check news, global news, but news specific to your company. And some of the things to avoid are congressional hearings. Your CEO is indicted, CEO arrested or under investigation, insider trading, issues like that. Those are things that are of concern. But other than that, a lot of it can be filtered out as noise. We're looking for signal. So the next thing you want to look at, which now it's very tough to pinpoint or predict a market cycle, you know, or the stages of it. We can see the stages, but you can't predict really when the turn happens. We kind of do it in hindsight somewhat. So most indicators are lagging indicators, guys. It happens after the fact. It kind of, your indicators on your stock charts populate after price moves. So it's like you can almost, if someone says they can predict the exact price or exact movement, let me know, because we need to pay that particular person, and we'll go to Vegas too. But anyway, listen, the four stages of a market cycle. We have accumulation, uptrend or markup, distribution, and downtrend or markdown. And to go a little deeper on that, when we talk about accumulation, it's actually the beginning stages of an uptrend, but it has to run its course. So at this point, institutional investors begin to strategically acquire large positions in a stock. The only way you can see this is if you check your charts and there's a volume bar, or that you're going to check volume. You'll check daily volume, you'll check weekly volume, and you look for a gradual increase in volume. And sometimes there's a spike, and you'll see volume basically means money going into the market. And you can track that, the activity of that particular company. You'll see it increase, the volume will increase, and you'll start to notice that, well, the smart money starts to pick up on it. And when the institutional investors make a move, they don't buy odd lots like us. They don't buy 150 shares and 60 shares. We're multiple thousands of shares, you know, millions of shares, certain hedge funds. So it'll set a bottom. And at the next stage, we'll find markup, or basically the uptrend, the beginning of that uptrend. You want to get in on the beginning of that uptrend. Preferably, if you're in the know, or if you have a good feel, that accumulation period might be also in a good spot. But you want to make sure you found that bottom. So on the markup section of the market cycle, there's a breakout above a certain level. Investors will use certain moving averages as a barometer. Like an example, price broke above the 50-day moving average or the 200-day moving average. And when it breaks a certain threshold, that's when a lot of the momentum happens, a lot of the excitement comes into it. The VWAP is another indicator that is a moving average that is commonly used. It's the volume weighted average price. So smart money will let price kind of break through that, and that signifies a bullish move. And then you let price retrace to that particular moving average for support, and then you look for a re-entry. So that we're in the markup phase, gets to a certain point where it's overextended, you're not making, and in the markup phase, you're making new highs. It's like you're making higher highs consistently, and you can see that on a chart. You know, you might have a pullback here and there, but it pulls back to a certain level and it bounces and it goes back up and makes another new high. And that's when you really know that you're in a strong uptrend. When it stalls out and you're not making as many new highs, you can kind of see it levels off. You're really into the distribution phase. And there are times when people begin to buy at that level. Think about Bitcoin when it was running up and that exuberance came in and all the deaconesses and the Usher board meetings were, Usher board meetings were, they were talking about crypto in the Southern Baptist churches, you know, at different conventions. So it got to that point when that happens, smart money, the distribution began, which happens and the price action begins to kind of move in a sideways trend. It doesn't make any higher highs. And that's almost a signal to where, the smart money or the institutional investors are beginning to unravel or leg out of their trades and they're selling their positions. And the next thing is basically profit taking. That leads to a downturn or a markdown. Volatility spikes and fear enters the market. Retail investors begin to liquidate their positions and you take what you can when you're getting out. And it's like a falling knife. Panic selling occurs and at certain times, the market hemorrhages. So I guess last week, Netflix had a correction, which it was overvalued at certain points. And they used, I guess, the catalyst was the earnings situation where they said their subscribers had, the subscriber numbers were down. They were losing Friends as well as The Office and Disney. You know, they're anticipating Disney and the other streaming networks as competition. But this could also be looked as a healthy correction, you know, so where it becomes a point where it becomes attractive again and it settles and finds a bottom. So, guys, when you go into a markdown, the price will eventually find a bottom and it's basically called a demand zone where it becomes attractive again. It's like, no, that's overpriced. I'm not going to buy it at this level. I'm buying it at this particular level. When you're in that markdown phase, and it hits that base, that bottom where, you know, everyone tries to predict a bottom and you can't predict it where we are. We're not that type of, we don't have that type of capital to set a bottom. Actually, certain people can almost set a bottom, you know, with the right circumstances. But when that bottom is set after, you know, we're in that markdown phase, then the entire market cycle will replay itself and you go back into the accumulation phase because you're in a demand zone and the price becomes attractive and it runs its course again. Accumulation, markup, distribution, markdown, recycle. So you have to pretty much know what section, particular segment of that market cycle that we're in. And it's key. I just want us to know and to remember that we may be entering a stock at any one of those stages. So by us knowing what the stages are within a market cycle, it's going to kind of, it'll quell our fears. It'll buffer the sting of a sell-off, that kind of thing. And we'll also have to declare or state what our investment strategy is. Are you short-term? Midterm, long-term, are you an active trader, which basically you're in and out, you're not marrying that company, you're in and out making your move, or are you going to swing trade, okay, you're looking for a nice trend, a pullback, and you're going to find the meat within a big move, the nice sweet spot, or are we going to go position trader or build a position for a long-term investment, which most of us should think about for our, you know, our young ones and family. If that's the case, we're not going to try to really just panic over the ebbs and flows of price action. So by doing so, by knowing what a market cycle is and declaring your investment strategy, it saves us from agonizing over the ebbs and flows of that price action within a standard market cycle. So, okay, guys, by now, I also believe that you research the following: ATR, which is average true range, and long and short. So when you go long a particular stock, we want that price to go up, increase in value, an uptrend. That's what we hope for. You're looking from that standpoint. If you're going short, you're going to make money on the downside when a stock sells off. I mean, you're in at 100. You're hoping that stock sells off to 85. And the difference between those, that your entry price and the sell-off price is the spread is, that's your sweet spot. That's your profit minus the commissions. So do a little research on that. We want the market to go up. We definitely want it to go up. And that selling short is a controversial strategy for some, but it's often a necessary evil. It's a necessary strategy to understand, because there's a time when we can fall into a bear market, and the only way to make money is either you're going to play the option markets and buy puts, or you just go into cash, or you just hold strong. So, but there are times, there are a lot of hedge funds and big time guys who are short sellers who make their money, and you know, with the bearish sentiment. They're looking for the negative flow in the market, because gravity, the sell-off is much more robust or stronger move to the downside, and it's a faster, more of a more rapid move to the downside. So study up on that. I'm not saying we want the market to go down, but we need to have an understanding of the short side as well. Okay, guys, let's move on. We're about to wrap this up. Your next homework assignment will be to look up the following tickers and write down the current price, the ATR, and decide if you would go long or short that particular stock. Okay, also first, head over to finviz.com. I like this website. It's finviz.com. You go there, you can go up, probably, I think it's the top left, the search bar, and you can type in each individual ticker one at a time. The first one is going to be BAC. Your next ticker is MSFT. Your next ticker is NFLX. Next ticker is UBER. Final ticker is LUV. The companies are Bank of America, Microsoft, Netflix, Uber, and Southwest Airlines. Okay, guys, as I said, we're wrapping it up, but one quick extra credit opportunity. Okay, this week we're looking at a jam-packed earnings setup, man, for this week of July 22nd. So head to Twitter and take a look at the following handle: Earnings Whispers, EARNINGS Whispers. They provide an excellent weekly layout of the most anticipated earnings releases, and they also have the implied volatility set up, because a lot of options traders, we live off of volatility, guys. That's how we get the value within the how they set the prices of the contract. So I kind of skipped over to Monday, but Tuesday, some anticipated earnings events for these companies. On the 23rd, we have Coke, Snap, Visa, and Chipotle. Other notables for Wednesday, of course, we have Boeing, Facebook, that's going to be a big one. Tesla's going to be a big one. Also have PayPal and AT&T. Thursday, we're looking at a big one with Amazon, 3M, Google. Pay attention to the Google call. They threw around words like treason, and it's a tough situation right now. So keep that on the back burner. Also, we'll see Raytheon and Southwest. I'm anxious to see how Southwest does and what they say regarding, I think that 737, the Boeing 737 MAX fiasco possibly could weigh down on that share price. But that's, don't play earnings. Just kind of, let's just use this for an example or just a learning situation. And Friday, you wrap up with Twitter in McDonald's. And I'm wondering if McDonald's is going to bring back the McRib, or are they going to have a Beyond Meat McRib? I'm just joking. I don't know. But anyway, guys, have a great week and let's get it going. Take care.